It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Well, RIP to YouTube. I guess we lost YouTube for today.
Damn, YouTube.
Gotta tune in. I don't think some barely people are aware that it's gone. Just over there watching a broken screen, man. Salute. Salute to the broken screen. Trista Crick going to join us here coming up at the top of the hour. Curious to get her thoughts on the Cleveland Cavaliers, who apparently are going to be the first 82-0 team.
Damn.
In the history of professional basketball.
Did you see what they did to the Warriors on Friday?
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm not even saying that to shade the Warriors. The Warriors can do nothing about that.
Yeah, they beat them by 19. They only won by 19. That's not that big of a deal.
Well, that's true. They did come back. And they've cut the lead to 19 with 2 minutes to go in the fourth.
Heard that way too many damn times.
But they couldn't miss. They could not miss. I was watching that game because where I was at, everybody was Warrior fans. And I was like, I'm sorry, guys. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The Cavs, they look really good to start the season.
Yeah, they
really
do.
Really, really good.
Mm. They do. Yeah, they look incredible. Donovan Mitchell is playing incredible. I don't know. Maybe we'll start mentioning Donovan's name as a potential MVP candidate. I'm not sure, man, but he's having a nice start to this season.
Well, did you see they had a conversation on one? I think it was like Countdown, and I think it was even Perk. He's like, I think right now Kevin Durant is the leader in the clubhouse for the MVP award 8 games into the season.
Right.
He only played 8 games. Come on, man.
Well, thanks, Perk. Donovan scoring 23.7 per game on 46.8% shooting. Ooh. And 41% from three. That to go along with 3.4 rebounds, 3.7 assists, and 1.5 steals.
Mm.
So Kenny Atkinson's got these guys. Is it Kenny Atkinson?
Yeah,
it is Kenny Atkinson. Kenny, he's got these guys going.
So I don't mean to derail the conversation, but you read those Donovan Mitchell stats,
mm-hmm.
and we talk about how well he's playing to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, but the first thing I thought about was De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And De'Aaron Fox's numbers are better across the board. I don't think his splits are as good.
Wow, the percentages can't possibly be as good.
No, the splits aren't as bad. But De'Aaron is, I think he's still 24-5-5. 24-5.3, 4.7, 2 steals a night.
I think the splits are important, but you know what's the most important.
Oh, the W's for sure.
12-0.
But I only say that to say because we struggle a little bit about, like, is De'Aaron having a good season?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, he is. Yes. He is. You want it to be a little bit more efficient. You want it to be more efficient consistently. But if this is the bottom, like if we're like, oh man, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not playing good to start the season.
I think the tough part that happens sometimes is De'Aaron actually was fine yesterday. He wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
But like that happens a lot when they lose.
Right.
And I don't know, everyone universally will agree. He did not play well versus Phoenix at all until he did. But his overall style, he was kind of rough. But if you watch the game, you know, yeah, De'Aaron's a huge reason they won.
And once again, the percentages in that, like you look at the stat line alone in that Phoenix game, like, oh, he balled. I think it was like 21-10-6 or something like that. Like, oh, he balled. And you see the highlights of him in the fourth quarter and overtime door. Like, oh, he balled out. But then you watch the game, you're like, oh, man, he struggled to shoot for most of the game. But, yeah, I'm like I said, I know we were talking about the Cavs. I'm sorry, but I thought about De'Aaron when I saw those numbers from
Donovan.
From Donovan. And mm-hmm. and to be honest with you, when you talk about the splits, I'm looking at them right now. The only difference is, and it's a big difference, is three-point shooting. That's it.
What's, sorry.
De'Aaron is 47% from the field.
Uh-huh.
Donovan is 46.
Okay.
Donovan's 41% from three. De'Aaron is 27. And the free throws are about this. Donovan's 85. De'Aaron's 87.
A salute to De'Aaron for that. 87% from the line is fantastic.
Yeah. So I don't even say that to, like, prove anybody wrong. Because we just had the discussion about, man, what, or we've seen people have the discussion about what his season, the start to the season has been. And you brought this up a couple of days ago. And the more we just kind of break it out, like, he's actually fine. He's fine. Like, he's actually probably more than fine. He's actually really good. Mm-hmm. We're not even factoring what he does on a defensive end. Steals, yes, but, like, actually guarding people, the best defender in the league percentage-wise. So, yeah, I don't know what the expectations are for De'Aaron, but he's having a good start to the season.
Well, the expectations are extremely high mm-hmm. for De'Aaron. They always are. Perhaps unfairly so, even for those outside of Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And Dubs, not Warriors, but
that's right.
wins.
That's right.
And they don't have enough of them right now. They're 6-5, which, you know, in the conference right now doesn't look very good. Mm-hmm. But that's all it is.
Yeah.
6-5 versus 12-0.
And going back to the Cavs, you know who's playing really well?
Say it. Come on, man. Say it.
Hell
say
yeah,
it.
I'll say it. Because he's balling. Evan Mobley is
my man. My man.
18-8. I'm sure I don't have the blocks in front of me.
Well, you sold your stock too long ago, pal. You're broke, but.
I'm sure. Let me look at the blocks right now. A block and a half a game.
Mm-hmm.
He's balling, man.
Yeah. And like I was saying, I don't think they did a big roster rehaul. I don't even know if they did anything this offseason.
They didn't do much of nothing.
It was literally Kenny Atkinson.
Mm-hmm.
And
securing Mitchell. Was that this summer? They secured him with the contract, or was it last summer?
Oh, I can't remember. I think it was maybe summer. Yeah.
His last summer was the he had 2 years.
Tim Bontemps got to trade him. Got to trade him. Got to get rid of him now. You don't want any part of this. I'm gonna do a podcast on this for 6 months. I've been saying you've got to move Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell's gonna like leave in 8 years, and Bontemps gonna be like, "Told you." 8 years, two titles left.
You guys would have just listened to me 10 years ago.
Yep, told you guys.
But yeah, Evan Mobley, he's balling, man. One of the, I don't even know if it's a problem, but I just didn't agree. I didn't see him the same way when I talk about Evan Mobley, is they looked at him as a franchise guy. And I said, he's not that.
I don't think they did, though.
Well,
I thought they looked at Donovan.
Boy.
Who's my boy?
Your boy, Bill Simmons, called him David Robinson.
That is not my boy.
He called him David Robinson.
He did not.
I said, wait a minute, man. Just relax
That's
a little
ridiculous.
Bit. He's a good ball player. But he's always been a good ball player. But I always thought this role is best for him. He's a tweener between
like
a two and a three.
I feel like this was always his role. That's why Donovan was there. Donovan's there to be the guy. And Mobley is there as, like, to me, the clear number two. I think
Garland might be number two. But it depends on the night between Garland and Mobley.
Garland's good. I like Darius Garland. I don't have any beef with that, but I think I like Evan Mobley more.
Mm. He's balling, though. He's hooping.
Chet's out 8 to 10 weeks, man. He took a nasty
that was tough.
Fall onto his hip. Mm-hmm. That's
fractured
crazy.
Something.
Yeah, 8 to 10 weeks. Now, one of the things regarding Chet was he's frail, long, injury concerns. Well, obviously, he misses his entire first season. Has a great second season, off to a really good start here in his third, and then suffers this injury that's going to keep him out 8 to 10 weeks.
That was tough to see. I was watching the game when it happened, and I was like, man, you know, get up, Chet. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't. He needed help off the court and everything. And I was hoping maybe it'd just be like a bone bruise or something like that, but a fracture, you know, on the hip bone or something like that. That's serious business.
And I don't even know, like, how do you?
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Like the rehab process. Yeah. The rehab process got to be difficult for him.
Yeah.
Let's bring in TK, see what she got to think about all of this. Trista Tuesdays. TK, what's up, buddy?
Are you guys not on YouTube right now, or what's going on?
Nah, it's some YouTube said, look, we can't take this. Too much hotness. And I guess the stream broke down. So it's been entertaining watching the chat move over to Twitch, which has never happened in the history of this show.
I see some people refuse to do it and go to Twitter.
They went to Twitter instead. So yeah, they're watching elsewhere. But yeah, YouTube said you guys are too hot. It was too much at the casino yesterday. So we need to shut down.
Yeah, I saw the hat that you were wearing.
You got your jokes off, but I looked good.
What? There was a joke there?
Oh, there was Indiana Jones jokes. TK had a Trista joke, but I looked fire yesterday.
I didn't even think about that one. I thought it was fine, but Indiana Jones is hilarious.
You're never going to get me, Papa. See?
Such a hater, dude. You're such a hater.
He's just kind of like in a fashion experimenting, you know, just trying to see. Just see, get in where you fit in, just kind of see what sticks.
I got to incorporate that type of hat this winter.
Yeah, you do.
This winter. I do.
Oh, I used to wear hats like that when I lived in L.A. Then I tried to do that on the East Coast, and it was like,
What do you mean? You know? And they always wearing hats over there.
Not the women's.
Really?
Huh. Not the women's.
Maybe it's a Southern thing. They wear them in the South?
A little veils over.
Yeah, I mean, like for church and like, no, I mean, I was wearing them. There's a couple of photos that I have online still where it was like, you know, big Cam Newton hats, you know?
Oh, you went all in.
I'm surprised.
Those on IG, I need to see those.
They don't be wearing those in New York. Like New York, they be wearing hats.
Well, I was in DC and they were just not feeling it. You know, they got their Patagonia vests and their loafers and their whatever else, you know, the LL Beans of the world and just pink button-ups and plaid, and they were just not feeling it. They were like, oh, we can tell you came from LA.
Oh,
like, yeah.
A little underhanded shot.
Just taking shots.
Just an underhanded shot.
So you live in DC where there's no stuff.
Trista has such a great IG page. Like, this is so, like, your page is so uniform and looks so great.
Thank you. It's almost like it's not even my page anymore. It's just like a content page.
But that's you though. Yeah. You are the content queen. I'm never gonna find this picture of you with a hat on.
No, I'll have to find it.
You have so many like videos because you post very regularly because that's what you're supposed to do. Oh, we've entered the Barstool era though.
Gross.
Yeah, like there is a man. What a dramatic change in your page when you get to the Barstool era. It's like, whoa, okay, that's different.
Barstool era.
R.I.P. my soul.
Well, we built your soul back up here.
Well, there goes. There goes Trista working on the house. That's rough. I see Trista working on the house.
Claiming those. Oh, short haired Trista is always a little like shocking to see.
I don't think I've ever seen short haired Trista.
I agree. I hate that. I hate that era.
Short haired Trista over at the ESPYs. No, it looked good. It's just always like, oh, that's. Oh, like that's like her hair is short. That's crazy. Mm. Oh, here. Okay. I found TK with a hat on. TK, that looks good.
Yeah, it looks fine. I like the glasses as well.
That looks good.
I like the specs with it as well. Come on, man. They don't know what they're talking about.
There was a really big one. I'm like,
yep. Well, pause. But there it is.
There it is.
That's Cam Newton right there. That's Cam Newton.
Cam Newton hat.
That's a nice hat.
The
facial expressions give strong, like, Wicked Witch vibes. Like, because you, like, I'll get you, my pretty. That's what that looks like. But the hat looks good.
Yeah, it was a good.
What year are we in for this? I had to scroll all the way back to 2016 to find that.
Yeah. Feels like time's a flat circle.
But actually, I'm stumbling across a lot of hat picks from TK.
What was her bag? I've entered the bar store.
Keep going, get past that.
Get out of here quick.
Just keep scrolling.
The evolution of your page is spectacular. This is amazing.
I know, right?
There's pictures of tomatoes on here. From 2015.
I found baby Trista. Oh, how adorable. You look bad.
Who's
this? Look like you were a problem.
Who's this fella? Oh, wait a minute.
Uh-oh. What's going on?
I don't know. She's at a white party.
What's going
on? I'm just, hey. TK been to a, TK,
oh,
who?
Oh, I know that photo.
Who?
Yeah, oh, so
here's,
no.
Here's the story behind that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Here's the story behind that.
Be careful. You might be called to testify.
It was a party in L.A. that was, it was not any industry, anything, but it was a white party. And the dude that I brought with me, what a mistake. That was, he was, by the way, fine as hell. Met him at a Marshalls. He came on to me at the Marshalls.
Oh.
And when I was with my childhood best friend in L.A., we hung out, we'll call it loose hanging out.
Probably. Yeah.
Like just bunny ears hanging out
for
a few months. And then I invited him to this white party because he was great arm candy, as you saw.
I saw that. Yep.
And just ripped, just fine, great name. And then he lost. We like couldn't find our way, and so like my maps didn't load, and so he couldn't find his phone. So I had to call his phone, which like slipped between the cracks of the seats of the car. And I called his phone and grabbed it, and it was like Portland TKO. Check mark. That was how my name came up, bro. My
what?
Name came
Yo!
Up.
Yo! What?
And I was like, wow, that's crazy. So I'm like on the phone, right? I'm blushing.
What?
I'm on the phone and I'm like, I got to see like what other messages like. And he's got like city where they're from or where they live. And he's got like ready.
Oh.
And like he's got like yo.
What?
So were there other like check marks? So was there a check mark system?
This dude was keeping stats.
So many girls in the phone under no names, just the city. Oh my goodness!
But did we define what the check mark stood for?
Like TKO check mark was like I hit.
Oh, you've already taken.
That's what I'm saying. He was Will Z in this thing. He was keeping stats.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, bro. And it was like almost ready, like real sloppy stuff.
Yeah,
and so we're on the way to the white party. What am I gonna do? I'm like, wow, if you look at that caption, it's like I will kill this boy.
No, that's like, what it says.
Like, I will kill him.
I got distracted because I found this, which is just getting more concerning the more we scroll. Is some of the company.
Oh, about that too.
Russell Simmons. So what's the meaning behind your first ever post, which is the number 12?
That was a Century Link. That was like the 12th man.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was NFC title game.
Trash. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
September 15th, 2012. That was your first post.
Oh, so that was, I forget what was going on.
Man, this is crazy.
Seahawks game.
97.2 thousand.
Party with this dude and like just pretend that I wasn't just completely objectified, like as objectified as you could get. The set was fine, but not enough for like, yo, you can put me in your phone as TKO Portland.
Yeah, chill, bro.
Crazy.
Trista has already lived a hell of a life.
Okay.
Like, she's at all these sporting events, like the Rose Bowl, she's at Clemson.
I do have a question I feel like needs to be asked. You just laid that out. You're at the party. You're like, there's nothing we could do. Did you hit that night?
No.
Okay. So that was it. It was over.
I dipped. We went to the party. I made him the arm candy.
Yep.
Everybody thought we were together. Ha ha, kiki, ha ha.
Yep.
And then I dipped. I left. Didn't even tell him my Irish goodbye. And it was like a 2-hour drive.
And
like,
what? Did he hit you with, what's wrong with you? What's wrong, babe? What's the matter?
Oh, he had to have known. He had to have known.
You think he knew?
And then like maybe a year or two later, he like found me on Snapchat. He's one of those dudes that thinks that he like women will give him money. Like, get him money? What are we doing? I was like,
I wonder
what
he's doing now.
He hit you on Snapchat for some bread?
Yes.
Come on,
bro.
Man.
That's wild.
Come on, man. What are we doing?
Come on.
That's wild.
Come on. And then the Russell Simmons is crazy. So I met him through this guy that I was working for. We had gone to this Day of the Dead party that was done. The party was hosted by Treats Magazine. If you Google Treats Magazine, it's a nude magazine.
Oh.
And so, but like tasteful nude. So we go to this party in LA. And I don't remember how we got linked up with Russ. I think we had to be like a collective group because they were only letting you in. So he was like in our group, but not really with us. Anyway, so it was called No Vacancy in LA. Anybody in the chatty house that's heard of this place? So you had to go up these stairs and through a window to enter the club or bar. So it's like real. It's like a fake house. Mm. And so you walk through the window and... Again, the whole party is rented out by Treats Magazine. Two girls, nice, doing their thing.
Oh.
Like doing their, as soon as you go through the window, you're like, oh, it's like that.
Was this the wrong window?
Whoa. You got like Paris Hilton's there, Jeremy Piven's there. They've got like topless fire breathers, like putting fire stick down her throat. You've got like women completely naked as the stem of a lampshade. Oh. Somehow the lampshade's turned on. I didn't know how that
was.
It was so insane. And Russell's with us. He's like,
of course he is.
It's a 1920s flapper party. Everybody's dressed up as like, see, back to the.
Well, there we are. Yeah, that is good.
Damien could have been at this party. Damien yesterday could have been at this
Come
party.
Come on.
A flapper party.
It was crazy. And so then we go to the Soho House right after, and there's this like Russian model sitting right next to me. Russ is to my left. He's ordering chamomile tea. We're sharing, because I don't drink, chamomile tea. He reaches across my lap, starts messing around with the Russian model. And I'm like, what? And he's like, do I have the right person? I said, God, I hope so. I feel like I should move. Can I move? And he's like, no. No, I don't want you to move.
Oh my goodness. Goodness
so,
gracious.
I do want to point out for those who are unaware, you don't just go to the Soho House. That's not something you do. Yeah, like, not, it's not like, oh, look, oh, I've heard about this place. I'm going to go in here. No. That's not how it works. So,
the guy that I was working for was a member there.
No, I got it. I got it. I'm just,
so I was just, there.
Just explaining
I was
that
there
to people.
And, like, furniture. I was like his assistant. It was so
well. Lonely. It sounds like you might have been there for something else.
Yeah.
No one ever hit on me. No, I was never hit on. I was just literally like invisible, like completely invisible. The only person who ever was nice to me was the guy who played the mummy, like the guy who played the not Brendan Fraser, but the one Billy Blaine or whatever is it with the bald head. He was the only one that was ever nice to me. Met okay. so many. Asses as celebrities.
I have so many follow-up questions that I'm just not
ready for.
It feels like this is more interesting than the Cavs being 12-0
and Chet's
hip injury. But you said something with your arm candy guy about how I was like, oh, the sex was fine, it's whatever. Like, if I asked you right now who's the best you've ever had, would you know like instantly who it was?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Okay. Because I feel like that's everybody.
That little smirk crazy.
I feel like that's everybody. Like if I asked you, who's the best?
I can tell you the worst as well, but that's an offline.
Oh, okay.
Wait, is the worst someone we know?
Oh, it's someone you know.
I think
it's someone you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I know.
All right. So
that's crazy.
So 12-0, huh?
12-0.
That's crazy.
No, I mean it was like the worst. Like whoa. Like then and then I'm not even gonna go into it. But then
well,
some other stuff came, and you're like, yep, that happened. That's real.
Oh,
I don't need to know the details of these headlines. I know it's real.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
So,
Lord
okay.
have mercy.
Like okay. So, like, what constitutes you going, like, no, that was bad. It's just like just short or
so much aggression. Just like so much like chaos and
I feel like I know exactly.
No, what absolutely. Absolutely. There's, if you know, you know. There's no doubt in my mind who this is. There's no doubt.
Oh, I am never gonna be able to look at that. There's
absolutely no doubt in my mind. It all checks out. It all checks out.
Get your bitch ass out. I know about you, man. Get out of my face.
This was pre-draft. This was pre-draft.
Oh, man.
Just want to say it was before. It was before all of this.
Yeah. Okay.
So bad.
So how about those Cavs, huh?
Cavs. Evan Mobley.
I went to the Wizards-Cavs game. Whatever, what, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, and had to sit at Capital One and watch the game, and had seen a couple of Cavs games just because they always come on at like 7:05. They're like the first game of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So I just somehow lucked myself into watching probably 8 of the 12 Cavs games at least. And when they played the Wizards, I was like, wow, there's Caris LeVert looks really good. I was sitting right in, behind Caris LeVert's mom and dad, and like we were chopping it up. So she was like, really excited about how her son has developed and how his health has started to get better. And man, I was like, man, Ty Jerome looks like he came out of nowhere. He looks, has been looking good. This bench is great. No Max Strus still. I went there actually because George Niang brought me. And so he's like looking very good. That the bench in general, I think, has just played with such energy and intensity. Evan Mobley, as well as like the fulcrum of the offense, is really great. And I think that's just a testament to Kenny Atkinson and what he learned in his time under Ty Lue and his time, you know, for the Golden State Warriors as well. Like you can see they move really well without the basketball and they move with intention, you know, like there's just constant cutting. The shot making is just really fun. Darius Garland, if he plays the way that he's playing right now, he's probably like first team all NBA. Like the way that he's just the shot making clutch time after clutch time. And I feel like there's so much of it as you can just put on Kenny and everybody buying in. And also like the offense is running in a way that's not predictable anymore. It's not just isolation, two guards, the Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum type stuff where it's just dribble handoff around the perimeter, dump down to Jared Allen and see what happens, like, or drive and kick. Everybody knows how to defend that. So what they're doing is fun, but not just that. It's like they got down by 7 to the Brooklyn Nets with like 2 minutes left to go. I'm just tuning in to see who beats them first. I'm like, well, who will it be? I tune into the Brooklyn Nets. They're down 7. I'm like, wow, that would be a wild thing to lose to Jordy because the Nets are playing fun basketball too. Nope, they find a way. Again, Ty Jerome, 45 seconds. It's him, Darius Garland, and Donovan Mitchell out there, and he's the one ISO floater. I was like, oh, my goodness, okay, Ty. Deflecting. You just, I don't know. It's been fun. It's been a very fun brand of basketball to watch at a time where there's not a lot of fun teams. Given how many threes they're just chucking early on in the shot clock.
Well,
so I was going to ask you about that. Like, you know, a big discussion around the NBA, around sports, maybe not a big one, but one that I've heard is the low viewership of the NBA and people talking about that. Like, it's just too many threes and it's not really a fun game to watch. Do you subscribe to that? You think that's an issue? Like, because I watch the game, I don't really have a problem with it when I watch it. It's just, I'm just watching basketball. But some people are turned off by that, I guess.
I think there is like a level of gamification to the game, right? Like you're getting math, the, you know, how many shots do we put up where three is better than two? And how do we, you know, out math the other team? And that's like, not fun. It's just not a fun brand of basketball. I'm not like somebody who wants no threes. I just don't want Joe Mazzulla. We're chucking up 50 threes a game. Like that's just kind of ridiculous. And it definitely changes the way that the game is played based on long rebounds, based on, you know, transition buckets. So, and you're just seeing a lot of bricks. The percentage, like field goal percentage of a three is just, you know, going to be down just based on the distance of that. So
yeah, we know.
Yeah, you do know. You do know. No, we know. No, we know.
Yeah, that's right. We know. We know.
We know. Five, like, also Portland, 5%. 5% from three. 5.8%.
Come on, man.
Lowest in history in a game.
Come on.
Well, no, we were going for the record the other night. We tried. If De'Aaron hadn't hit that three in the fourth quarter, we might have had it.
Tough. So, yeah, I think it does kind of bother me. I don't know if that's why ratings are down. I think right now this is a very – and just it may be contributing. It may not. But for me, outside of a few teams because of the injuries as well, I'm really locked in and excited about college basketball. We got Kentucky playing Duke tonight. We've got, you know, Rutgers is good. UConn is good. Alabama is good. And this is the time where you find out those teams' identities. Mm. That's fun. The NFL – we're right in full swing. It's week 11. You've got college football where you've got finally a 12-team playoff. So there's just a lot of sports to watch. Just a lot. College and so locking in on NBA with all the games on at once, it's tough.
Yeah, and it's really tough when your team is shooting those horrible three-point percentages that you were just referring to, and that's what the Sacramento Kings are doing. And we said, Trista, we could have spent 2 hours before the Minnesota game that started the season laying out things that could go wrong for Sacramento. And I don't think in that 2 hour stretch, we would have ever have said that they're shooting just a god awful percentage from three. Their shooting probably lost them the Clippers game, certainly kept them from an opportunity to win it. I don't know that that necessarily happened last night against San Antonio, but the number of games in which they're shooting bad is really starting to add up here.
I wonder how much of that is impacted by just the style of buckets. Like, you've got DeMar and Fox who both like the mid-range. So I don't know if that stylistically changes things. You know, Kevin Huerter's been very streaky for years now, right? Since the playoffs 2 years ago, his three-point shot hasn't been there. Keegan's a very streaky shooter from deep. Malik's a very streaky shooter from deep. Like, who in your, by the way, four props in terms of like positives. I like seeing Sabonis shoot more threes. I like seeing that. That's good. I think we need to encourage that. But like, who's the best, most consistent 3-point shooter on this team? Who is the sniper?
Well, it should be Keegan, and it's not. Not like statistically right now, it's not. But if somebody asked me who's the best 3-point shooter on the team, I'd say.
But his variance is always Kevin. His 3-point shot variance has always been pretty high, right? Like, it's not, he'll have like a 6-3 game and then he'll have like a 1-3 game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no like steady Eddie 3-point shooter.
Doug McDermott is the best 3-point shooter.
Just arrived.
And yeah, he can't shoot right now. He's like 2 of 10 or something like that in the last two games. Like, it's not going great.
You saw that with KCP, too. KCP has been awful in Orlando, and KCP's a lifetime 40% shooter. So it's going to be really fascinating because there's a lot of guys who their three-point shots are down right now. Not Buddy Hield, though.
Not Buddy Hield. Jesus.
He's like out of his mind.
Man.
Turns out Buddy Hield is the greatest shooter in the history of the league.
He's making everything.
NBC Sports California has been right all of these years. It's right. Steph and Buddy.
They want an apology.
Yeah.
And he's like pretty serviceable on defense too. I'm like really shocked at how he's staying on
the- Well, I think what's happening is the rest of the team is really good defensively, and they kind of put him in a position to can't screw up. By the way, that is the mark of a really good coach. Mm-hmm. That's the mark of a really good team, but that's the mark of a really good coach as well. And I'm not gonna like diminish anything Buddy Hield has done. He's been great for Golden State, and Golden State looks really good to me.
We're not like taking subtle Mike Brown shots at this point yet, are we?
Buddy never played for Mike.
No, but I mean just in general. Like,
No, absolutely not. No, it was more of a shot at Luke Walton than anybody.
Wow.
But
wow, what did Luke do?
But no, like the makeup wasn't good enough to hide any deficiencies from Buddy Hield, let alone multiple players who had defensive efficiencies. That's not Luke Walton's fault. Yeah. It's not Alvin Gentry's fault. Buddy is in a better situation. He's in a situation that suits him. We talked about it last year. Indiana had no interest in playing defense last year, but Buddy was a better basketball player, an overall basketball player in Indiana because of the guys around him and because I think of Rick Carlisle as well. Rick Carlisle and Steve Kerr, whether I like Luke Walton or not, or whether you like Luke Walton or not, those two coaches are on a completely different stratosphere than Luke Walton is. Mm-hmm. And both of them had better teams, and I think this is the best team Buddy Hield has played for, and we're seeing it. We're seeing it work for him. We're seeing it work for Steve Kerr, and we're seeing it work for the Golden State Warriors.
What do you think happens with this Kings team? I think they win
50 games.
50 games?
50 to 52, yeah. I think they're that good. I think they're already pretty good as they are, and they're historically anemic from the three-point line. The thing we've been talking about today, Trist, is I'm not asking you to be good, but I'm asking you to get from anemic to bad. And if they can get to anemic or get from anemic to bad, they just went 6-4 when they were just awful. Like that 6-4 might turn into a 7-3, you know, over a 10-game span or whatever. So I think they can get to 50. I do. DeMar is amazing.
No, he's so fun to watch, too. I just enjoy.
Did you see him against Phoenix the other night?
Yeah.
This is nuts. Incredible.
That was
absolutely incredible.
He's just one of those dudes that like elevates the care factor on a team too, you know? Like he's not taking any BS. So, yeah, it's been, I think that move is going to go down as a good move as much as the KOCs of the world and everybody wanted to bash it. Yeah, I think that was like kind of the only move left on the chessboard that you could make. But I do think that there has to be another move at the deadline for somebody consistent.
Well, there are people calling for it right now. But what does that even look like? Like, what's the move? Who's the player? Like, what are we talking about? I don't know. Maybe all eyes go to the Pelicans. Maybe the Pelicans, continues to spiral a little bit.
I still think.
Like a Trey Murphy?
Trey Murphy or Herb Jones, either one of those two. I still would have my eye on Finney Smith or Cam Johnson.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think the Nets will sell off. I really do. I think even a Corey Kispert, I wouldn't hate. Like, the Wizards are going to sell off. I think you're going to see the Nets get rid of everybody. Did you not sleep last night, Will, or what? You sleep okay?
I slept fine. I slept fine. Don't do that.
The Nets are going to have to sell off. Because they're too good. They don't want to be this good, and they're too good. Like, they're well-coached. They've got talent. Cam Thomas is getting buckets. Like, if they want to get where they're trying to get, which is top five or bottom five, however you want to say it, they're going to have to move some people.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying this to Keith Smith, that they're like the Stone Soup of the NBA. You just get whatever you got in your fridge, and all of a sudden you wake up, and it's like, oh, this is, like, pretty good. This is like just a random collection of ingredients playing basketball, and they just somehow consistently are fun.
Mm-hmm. What did you just refer to them as?
Stone soup.
Stone soup. You know, it's just like a stone and water and like a carrot and a piece of celery. You never heard that?
I don't believe I've ever heard that expression.
That's
before.
East Coast. That's East Coast right there.
It's like the stone soup. You know, it's like East Coast. No ingredients.
Well,
in there.
It sounds terrible. So.
Yeah, it's pretty much it. Yeah, and it's been fun to see Jordy do his thing, really. Like, he's got them playing all with a level of team focus. You know, Cam Thomas. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Cam Thomas, honestly, but he's getting buckets out there.
He's a bucket.
Really is.
Yeah.
He's a bucket. He's an unethical bucket. Well, but he's still a bucket.
Give him time. He just was able to drink. He's like 23, just turned 23. Yeah.
We'll see. We're just going to see.
Can I ask Trista a non-basketball question?
I think you can ask Trista whatever you want to. We started this show talking about sex, so I think it's fine. It was actually hats. We went from hats to sex, a very natural transition.
And then her worst ever. Then we talked about that as well. Oh, man, that was crazy. But how are you? I shouldn't even assume. Are you excited about the possible prospects my boy, Coach Prime, and my boys in Colorado finding a way to get into the college football playoff? I said at the beginning of the season, I said this would be great for business. I said, I don't know if Colorado is good enough to do it, but this would be absolutely great for business if they can find a way to weasel their way into college football playoff, and they might just make it.
It's Is that thought seven, you were going to ask her something else about them?
Yeah, so did I. Seven.
What?
Go ahead, TK. We'll get to the second part that I think you and I are both thinking about.
Seven wins, though. That's kind of incredible. Already, their win total as a bettor was 4.5. I was not a believer. Shador and Travis Hunter are electric. Prime is obviously figuring out a way to prove every media person wrong. The swag is there. The vibe is there. I mean, defensively, they're awful, but they can score like anybody. I think they will be in the playoff. If there's an argument to be made for them in it, considering how many two-loss teams there are already there, they just have to really win out, I think. But you've got, like, Georgia's gotten two losses. Yeah. You've got Alabama with a couple of losses. So, yeah, I think it's definitely good for business. It's definitely something that people will want to see. In terms of, like, how legit they are as contenders, I don't think anything. But, yeah, I think that's, like, a very good thing for college football as a whole, considering that it's been, like, blue bloods and these programs that we're all used to seeing. And now, you know, Deion steps in and Colorado's just making noise. Mm-hmm. Colorado.
What about coaching the Cowboys, which is what I thought you were going to ask.
Yeah, I was thinking, too. I was
it's all lining
about,
up. If they yeah, just put a curtain up, everything will be fine.
And, like, Shador, there's a lot of buzz around, like, Shador going to Dallas and then Deion coaching in Dallas and then Mike McCarthy kind of slowly but surely going away. But I think it was either Ryan Clark or it was Andrew Hawkins who said it best, where it's like, it's the culture of Dallas that's the problem.
Yeah.
It's not just the players. It's not just Mike McCarthy. It's not just the fact that they've got their entire staff has been there for 20 something years and they never innovate. They just want to keep their own dudes and not ever make any moves at the deadline. It's not the fact that they just built their stadium so the sun comes right in as a glare right when its sun is setting. It's
oh, like maybe we should just tear it down and build a new stadium then. Give me a break.
You know what that reminds me of? Because I wasn't able to say there's no platform for me to bring this story up. When I built my mom, I hope she's listening. When I built my mom that deck, right? And it was pristine, beautiful, pressure treated, weather treated deck, but like you should not let water just sit on that deck wood for very long. So I tell her, hey, you should probably put these plants on a stand, you know, like you're watering your sage or your oregano and it's just pooling below and it's just sitting on top of the deck. And she was so offended that she threatened to take every board out of the deck and rip it down. I will take the deck board by board. You will not tell me what to do. And when Jerry Jones said, when they asked him if he would put curtains in the window, I was like, wow, this is just like what my mom did when I built her deck. It's the craziest overreaction you've ever seen. And like, no, Jerry's not gonna.
I too really hope your mom is listening this week.
Yeah, me too. She'll text me and tell me that's not what happened.
Oh, I'm still on Trista's Instagram. Here's her at a baseball game, local park. Huh.
I've gone to some sporting events. All right, I'm in sport.
All right,
not rooting for the Giants, huh?
Where was I?
You were out in this general vicinity. It was. Say that.
Not rooting for the home team.
This was before I knew you?
Yeah.
Are you coming to see us? Like, what are we doing? I feel like we ask this every week. I would say, hey, come to a Kings game. That doesn't feel great to say right now. They're not doing particularly great at home. They got Phoenix tomorrow to stay above 500 at home if they can. I think it's not January. It's not Dame time. It's Trista time.
Yeah.
It's probably going to have to be January. I was literally just thinking about I have to be out of this house by January 5th, just in time for the end of democracy. Just get out of D.C. Okay. Just get out. Get out of here, Trista. And we'll be on the West Coast.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you might be safe. But, like, if you drove past them, they'd be like, oh, hey, you coming to the meeting? No. Okay. I'm going to go this way.
So I'm going to be back on the West Coast then. And that's when I'm planning on the the Sacramento trip. There's not that many. If there was games, a lot of homestands now, I probably would have done it because I'm going to Purdue, Alabama this weekend, and then Wisconsin, Oregon Saturday, Bears, Packers Sunday. If you guys had Kings games at home, I would have been doing it now. But in December, I probably can't swing it because I have to move. But so it'll be January.
Okay.
Pre All Star break.
All right. Pre All Star break. We'll let TK go. She's revealed a lot today. TK,
you guys can send me your predictions via text.
I'm sending
right. Okay. Say less. We'll rush to our phones right now. The best I can't figure out. The best I'm not. No, I don't know the best.
The worst.
Yeah, the best I won't know. But exactly. Again, more questions than answers here with Trista Crick. We appreciate you. Thank you as always. We love you. Well, all right. The first text went. Okay. Thanks. Trista Crick.
No, hold on. I want to get your reaction.
Oh, you want me to text too? Oh, wait.
No, I gave you my reaction.
Oh. Wait.
Wait a sec. Hold on. Wait. Hold up. Wait. Hold on. Wait a second. Wait a second. Check your text. That one?
Oh!
All right. Okay. Okay. We gotta go. How? I don't even know what to do at this point.
Oh, man. When I saw that, I said, wait a minute. No. Then you asked the perfect follow-up.
Yeah.
Oh, well, man.
Okay. Well, again, more questions than answers, but.
This was even better than I thought.
That's not what I thought.
That's not what I thought. That's not what I thought either.
I don't even think I knew that existed.
Not many do.
Now she thinks she a Mac. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Macaroni.
Okay. Okay.
See y'all.
Yep. All right. Let's just go to break, man. I'll figure it all out later. Yep. Don't worry about it. Just. Oh, no. I think we need to keep going for Kyle. Did you already set that up? You want us to keep going? Kyle doesn't care. Don't worry about it. The show doesn't even matter. This text blew my mind. So this show literally doesn't matter.
That was crazy.
We'll be back. Stilo, go ahead.
I was just going to say, here we go. I was just going to say, if you want to go now, we can, but we got breaks to make up at some point, so it's going to be shorter segments later. Yeah, up to you.
No, I got it. Done this before. I just need a minute. Let's just go to break, and I'll take a minute. That we'll all crazy. Take a minute. And... just know it's D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1330.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Dubai Sky River Casino.
Jason Jones set to join us coming up in the final hour of the show. In-season tournament action, NBA Cup action begins tonight in the association. Of course, the one everyone is looking out for, Klay Thompson, returns to San Francisco tonight with the Dallas Mavericks. We mentioned this earlier on Prize Picks. I think they had him up at 14.5, more or less, going into that one. People think Klay is going to be super emotional going into this one. I think Draymond Green was asked about it, and he was just like, yeah, it's a really important in-season tournament game. And that tells you kind of a lot. Some of the things that they've said about Klay Thompson, be it directly or indirectly, certainly have been interesting to follow. When Steph said something about people's moods and all of that, I thought it was kind of interesting. But it sure feels like, in some of the different things that I've read, and I guess this is the thing to do, not that I'm mad at it because it's a great way to get attention, but the putting out the big story of why player X left team Y the day they play each other. We just saw it with Paul George last week. We're seeing it today over on The Athletic. Anthony Slater's got an article out. We're seeing it all over the place with why Klay Thompson left Golden State, why Dallas was the perfect place for them, and all of those different things. It's a perfect time to drop that as he returns to San Francisco. And I think people believe it's going to be an emotional game, but I think it might be emotional for Klay, and it might be emotional for the fans. But I sure as hell got the impression that this is not going to be an emotional return for the Golden State Warriors.
What gave you
that impression? Maybe Joe Lacob.
What gave you that impression?
Your boy, Draymond was one. The Steph Curry remark you referenced late last week was another. I don't know this, obviously. I'm just host a radio show. I don't think Steve Kerr cared for Klay Thompson. There's a couple people I don't think Steve Kerr cared for, but Klay Thompson is one of them. I think Klay, you know, there was so much focus on Jordan Poole over the last couple of years and Draymond Green that it maybe took some of the eyes off like Klay. And Klay, you know, from an outsider's perspective, but very easy to see, I could see Klay being problematic last year. I could see Klay being like, I don't know if it's a distraction, but I think there's like Klay, and this isn't new. This isn't post injury. This isn't non-contract extension Klay. This isn't, oh, Draymond got a contract and I didn't. Klay has always been kind of a jerk. Like, he's always been like a bit of a malcontent. There was that talk of him coming out of college. I think the line that they kept repeating over and over and over again was, yeah, Klay's he's an NBA player's kid. He's kind of a brat. He's an ass.
That was kind of the perfect word.
And that's brat. That didn't start after he suffered two, you know, catastrophic injuries. That's kind of been the thing. It just, sports cliches, winning masks everything. And when you win four titles and you're in competition for a title, and the only time that you're not is when you're injured or the Steph God is injured. And then you're right back in the championship conversation when everybody's healthy. Yeah, a lot of that stuff gets buried. I think some of this is you recognize that version of the Golden State Warriors was clearly they were done. It was over. And it was like, look, are you willing to pay into this second apron for nostalgia? Or are you trying to be a championship basketball team? And it turns out Joe Lacob wasn't willing to pay for nostalgia. He drew the line at Klay Thompson. And I don't know. All appearances are this is a better basketball team for it.
Yeah, it always – we talk about it often, but I'm also always kind of shocked at how some of these athletes just don't – I don't know if they don't understand or they're unwilling to accept kind of the way that things go. Klay, who rightfully so, he wants his money. I get it. I'm not dissing him for wanting his money, but you just ripped up your Achilles and tore your ACL in the last 5 years, and you want them to give you a max deal, and you feel disrespected because they don't give you a max deal. I know there's a negotiation process that should happen, so you can't just, oh, I know, you know, I'm kind of damaged goods a little bit, so just give me whatever you want. Like, I understand it's more than that, but he, like, really felt disrespected that they didn't give him a max deal and probably were upset that they gave Draymond a deal before him. And you know how we feel about Draymond, but I can say this. I mean, even that being too much, like Draymond didn't have the same injury history that you do. There's less that Draymond has to do to be closer to the version of himself that, you know, was great at one point than Klay does, if that makes any sense. So if you had to give somebody the max, I can understand the Draymond one.
And Draymond doesn't sulk. He might punch a player or two, but he doesn't sulk about it.
Yeah, and Klay did that for almost like 2 years, it felt like.
I think he did it a lot longer than that.
And they gave Klay the money when he was hurt.
Yeah, I don't feel like I hear you. I understand that. I don't feel like Klay needs to be like thankful for that. Like Klay, you're still betting on him being a good basketball player, a really important basketball player when he returns. If you wanted to make the call then, that he's not good enough to be back on the team, or you don't think he can recover, that's fine. You're not winning a you're not winning that lost championship that you won, the biggest anomaly in sports history. Like, you're not getting that.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't, like, Klay doesn't owe them anything because they paid him that. Like, that was the decision. That was the best decision for the Golden State Warriors.
Right. And it,
I think, but I think you're right, though.
And you're not giving none of that money back. Like, you weren't able to play. You weren't able to produce at that level.
But you knew that.
Afterwards.
But you knew that.
Yeah.
You knew that when you did that.
Yeah.
It's no different than Brooklyn. Brooklyn knew what they were doing when Kevin Durant signed there.
Absolutely. But that's part of the, all I'm saying is that's part of the game. Like, when you were probably overpaid, you didn't complain. And now that they want to give you money that you feel you're under, you feel like you're underpaid, now you want to complain about it.
And if I'm Klay, like, I think that what you said earlier lines up the best. You paid him? Him. You didn't pay me? Yeah, that's good. I'm going to go.
We can talk about
it a little bit more.
But did you read the article about, like, the reasons why?
The Anthony Slater article?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's not, like, massive revelations in there. It's more like just a breakdown of how, you know, Steve Kerr and Klay Thompson having breakfast, and Clay's like, yeah, I think I'm going to leave. Mm. And Steve's like, I understand. Like, again, there's nothing about this that...
It's not salacious or anything.
No. And it's also like, Steve Kerr does not seem broken up about this. And maybe it's because Steve Kerr is a basketball guy forever, and he understands the business and coming and going and free agents and trades and retirement. Like, he's lived all of that as a player. He's lived it as a coach. Like, he's done all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the line which I think opens the article, or the description that I believe it opens the article, it's I think I'm going to go. And Clay's like, yeah, or Steve Kerr, that's a good idea. Yeah, it's good. It's a good idea. Like, there's nothing in it, and it's okay if Clay's emotional tonight. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Warrior fans are really big Klay Thompson fans.
Mm-hmm.
Have your moment. I just don't think the guys on the floor or on the bench are going to have that moment.
Yeah.
I think that is for Klay, it's for Joe Lacob, and it's for the crowd.
Yeah,
I don't think it's for a single... And I'm not suggesting they all hate him.
Right.
I just don't think it's as big of a thing as some of us have kind of made it out to be.
Yeah. The comments from Steph a couple of weeks ago were really telling. Steph is the type of person that when he speaks, it carries a certain level of weight for me, because he don't just say anything. And him talking about last year indirectly spoke to, you know, how he felt, and probably how that whole locker room felt with what they had to deal with Klay being there. And yeah, when I first heard, like, oh yeah, Klay Thompson or Steph Curry possibly taking shots at Klay Thompson, I was like, yeah, right. And then I heard, and I was like, oh, that's exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And when he has something to say, when he's that frustrated and has to get a certain point out like that, It probably was that bad, because he don't just throw things out there that way.
Yeah. There's also a lot of, in this article from Ant-Man, if anyone wants to read it, there's a lot of Steve Kerr on the record stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, Steve Kerr is just talking pretty openly. Again, he's not saying a single bad thing
mm-hmm.
about Klay Thompson. He's speaking very glowingly about him. This will be, but this is a great television game. It's a great fan game. Anytime, you know, someone like Klay Thompson, like, Klay's not going to get booed like Paul George was. Paul George wasn't overwhelmingly booed
and
at all.
I don't even know why Paul George was booed.
I don't either.
They didn't offer him a contract. Yeah,
well, they did. They didn't offer him the contract he wanted.
Well,
I mean, that was outlined last week, and I think this has been outlined before. They offered him a 3-year deal for max money. He wanted a 4-year deal with the max money. They said no. I think there was one other, like, note that they had that they were just, like, unwilling to do. I think Paul George also said, and I think with some of this stuff, when players leave teams and they have other options, there's a lot of pride involved.
Mm-hmm.
The pride of with Klay Thompson and the Draymond Green contract. Like, Draymond Green signs a 4-year, $100 million contract, mm-hmm. and 2 years later, Klay Thompson signs a 2-year, $40 million contract. his ego is never going to get over that. And ego is a big part. It's a big part of basketball. It's a big part of life.
Yeah.
Paul George, the way the story is, actually, I think Paul George told the story on his podcast that he was willing, like in the beginning, to come back for the 3-year max deal that had kind of started discussions. Mm-hmm. And they like started dragging their feet. And then Paul got irritated and was like, no, forget it. Mm. I'm not signing for that. You want me here? I want a 4-year max deal. Mm. And that became the stalemate where it's like, no, we'll sign you for the 3-year max deal that we talked about. But, and Paul's like, why didn't you do this months ago when I asked you to? Right. When we started this discussion, why did it take so long to get this point?
Now
you
want me to principles.
Yeah, now you want me to be here. It's like the price has gone up. Mm-hmm. It's 4 years max. Mm-hmm. Steve Ballmer or whoever is in charge of that operation said no. And now feelings are hurt. Pride and ego are involved. And Paul George is a Philadelphia 76er. Klay Thompson is a Dallas Maverick.
Yeah. Well, what do you think happens today, tonight at the Chase Center, at the dental office?
What do you mean?
Like, you think there's going to be any hard feelings on the floor, hard foul or something like that?
No. I don't think so. I think he gets a big pop. They air videos. Mm-hmm. He doesn't cry because he doesn't, he ain't going to be invested like that. Mm-hmm. And then we get a game that I think the Warriors win.
Do you know they're giving away captain's hats?
I saw that. I thought that was dumb.
That's a little weird.
I thought it was dumb. Like, I get it. Like, I get Clay's. I don't know. I thought that was dumb.
Yeah. Well, did you hear? Kyle probably knows the plan is Klay Thompson is announced, then they all tip their cap to Klay.
Mavs by 50. Oh, my God. Tip your cap. Okay. No, this is cute. This is cute for that's adorable. That's so nice.
How do you feel about this? I want to point this out because I don't know what handle that is. We'll just say 916 on Twitch. And shout out to everybody who's found the stream despite the YouTube issues. They're over on Twitter and Twitch. I don't think he kept changing his story, but you're right. The no trade clause was a part of it. I knew there was one other thing mm-hmm. that he wanted, and then I couldn't remember what it was. Good looking on that. He did mention the no trade clause. Continue.
Oh, it's just, I think it's ridiculous.
How do you feel about Klay?
he was great. But he
do
was
you care
past,
that he's
like,
gone?
Yeah, it's weird for sure, but he was past like he would not accept the role that he needed to accept. Remember those couple of years of Carmelo Anthony before Carmelo decided that he was okay coming off the bench, or even Russell Westbrook, where it's like, hey, you're not quite that dude anymore. You're trying mm-hmm. to be that guy. Klay was not that guy anymore, and he was still trying to be that guy. Mm-hmm. And so if this is what needed to happen, he needs to go and be on a different team in a role that better suits him at this point in his career. That's great. The Warriors are better off giving his minutes to other guys at this point. And I know it sounds insane, 4-time champion, all that jazz. But at this point, I think it was better for them to part ways. Mm-hmm. I love Klay, though. Like, I always will.
Yeah, I think the move was definitely to break up.
I would punt that hat if they handed me one, though.
I don't think you would. I think you'd keep it. I don't think you'd wear it. And I don't think you'd tip it either. Pause. I think you'd...
Oh, wow.
I think you would keep your little Klay Thompson hat.
No, probably.
Yeah.
I would not wear it, though.
I think that's a dumb giveaway,
It's
though.
The opponent. Like, he's on the other team.
Well, that's okay. Like, I don't hate
it
that.
Is, it
like,
is
it's
Klay
like,
Thompson.
If he goes 8-for-11 tonight and the Warriors lose... Like, they're going to be like, wow, like, I'm so, this is like, so cool. What an awesome thing. I'm glad I had this hat on. Like, no, your team lost.
No, that's where everyone punts the hat.
Oh, throw it on the court.
And, yeah, there you go.
And, Dame, you're talking about, I see where you were going. You said, well, then they'd be 8-3. Yes, but they'd be on 1 in the NBA Cup.
Facts.
Mm. Well, that's what Draymond said. It's a big game in the in-season tournament.
Mm-hmm. The new Klay doesn't care either, by the way.
You don't. He doesn't care about going back to San Francisco.
No,
really.
He's very much
I do feel
on that.
Like,
I don't care. It's another game. Blah blah blah.
I do feel
I
like
think
he's.
You want to light him up.
This was not like an amicable parting. This was not like a nice. He went
right.
Hey guys, I want this much, and they went, oh Klay, we just can't. We okay. Well, hey, good luck. Like, this wasn't a nice breakup. Mm-hmm. He's not thrilled with the Warriors, and I don't think the Warriors are thrilled with him.
Yeah, but and that's why I agree 100%. But I think the 19,000 in attendance feel differently.
No doubt. No,
and
no
that's,
doubt.
And that's what I think this moment is for. And that's, to me, that's smart game ops. This isn't about the Warriors, the players in jerseys and the coaches. It's about the 20,000 paying customers and a player who helped you win four titles.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely. That's it.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's why I don't think any Golden State, or even Steph, is going to have a reaction to this. I don't think they care. Like, I'm with you, and I don't think that they care. I think Clay will react to the audience because he's not going to get the same response that Paul George got. He is going to get a universal welcome. And I think part of that is Clippers fans, I think, were like, no, it's not time for Paul George to leave. Mm. I think a lot of Warrior fans, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, were like, oh,
yep,
it's probably time.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's the nature of this game, man. Yeah. It sucks. It doesn't feel like it's fair. Little Timmy's got all of Clay's jerseys and mm-hmm. you know, now they're throwbacks, mm-hmm. but it's the game.
Yeah. That Klay Thompson Warriors jersey is going platinum at Coachella 2030.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Be a good jersey to have.
Yeah, I'm with you. As an outsider, I don't know. Klay, what I'm going to say is a little aggressive. I don't mean it this way, but he always kind of annoyed me.
Oh, that's not aggressive.
And they loved Klay Thompson in Warrior Land, and I understand why, but he annoyed me.
Yeah, that's totally understandable. Klay Thompson on Prize Picks tonight, 8.5 is his number on three-point attempts. We're going more on that, Coach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
8.5.
And the points
he's
is 15
chucking
and a half,
tonight.
Huh?
I think it was 14.5. I think the points on Prize Picks were 14.5.
He's chucking tonight. Wow.
I think so too. Yeah, I might let me get on that. I might get in on that. I didn't set my lineup.
Yeah, I need to set my lineup.
Let me get in on that. Oh, these numbers are changing.
I've got Klay more than 8.5 threes. I've got Karl Anthony Towns more than 36.5 points, rebounds, assists, and I'm going Joel Embiid less than 39.5, which makes me really happy mm-hmm. because that number was is now down to 37.5.
They got Fournette, man. Yeah, let me go. I might make the. Ooh, they got another one. Oh, that's 4.5. Wait, hold up. That's 4.5 3-pointers made.
No, I got 8.5 3-point attempts.
Oh, okay. It's up to 9 now.
Yeah. See, we're moving the right direction. This is great.
Well, I don't know that I want in on this now that it's 9.
they got you.
Nine's a tough number. Because when you push, you lose. I learned that with Ty. I took the under and
you took the less.
I take that.
The less. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I lost.
Got to be careful with that one.
I think they make it so if you have a 4-entry lineup, if you push one of them, not if you tie one of them, I don't think it's a push. I think it's a tie. Mm-hmm. If you tie one of them, it makes it a 3-player.
Yeah, and lineup. I don't mean to make this out as if that was the only thing I missed on. I botched that whole lineup.
Tyrese Les let you down.
My stupid ass said it on the show when KC wasn't here on Friday, and as soon as I got to the arena, like the second I got to the arena and I recognized what Domas stat line I took, I thought, Zubac, Domas, you effing idiot.
Oh,
you could just kiss that money goodbye.
Damn,
guess what? Kissed it all goodbye.
Yeah, that's tough. It's a bad beat.
I'm also taking Jalen Brunson more than 25.5 points.
Oh, I like that.
And I went Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg more
than
17.
Man, I have not ventured over
games.
There to college yet. Points.
Yeah.
You know what? I haven't even set NFL lineups yet.
I did one time.
I've been living and eating on the NBA.
I did a college one time, too, and wasn't successful.
I'm going to be honest. Okay. I'm gonna be honest. You gotta. Kenny Rogers said you gotta know when to hold them. I think I'm out today. I don't think I'm making a lineup today.
Wait till the WNBA starts and you take more on anything. Asia Wilson. I had so much fun with that this year. That was great.
I'm late.
This Joe stat line feels like insane to me though. I'm out. I'm out today. I'm passing.
Take the break to think about it?
Yeah. No, I'm out. It's the second time I've tried to set the lineup, man. I'm out. We'll come back. Jason Jones is going to join us here shortly. We'll get back to the Sacramento Kings as well. Kings play 5 of their next 6 at home. I don't know I don't even know what that means.
But I know what it means.
Okay. Stilo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino, where we will be our next live show. If you missed yesterday, what a great event it was, but it will pale in comparison to what's going down December 6th. For the first time ever, we are hosting both of our shows live at Sky River Casino. This Stilo and KC that you know, 12 to 4. Flashback Friday on 102.5, live for the first time ever from Sky River Casino from 4 to 7. And then the Wake Up Call over on 106.5 will take over and do a trivia night of Are You Smarter Than Kevin? Come be a part of all of those festivities, all while the Sacramento Kings take on the San Antonio Spurs. Plenty of time to talk about that. Stilo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.